Hello, mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 20, and we'll be talking about episode 20 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Hand-to-Hand Combat, in which we, yet again, deal with losses heavy to our hearts. Moe agare, and take it away. Hello!
Ah, you motherfucker!
And welcome back to Mobile Suit Fandom. This is episode 20. I'm Fuzzy.
I'm unprepared.
As always.
I'm Chris.
And,
your surprise friend.
Yep, your perpetually surprised friend. I just bumped my desk and was real worried everything
God
was about to
damn
fall.
Damn it, Fuzzy.
Look, I'm a broken man with currently enough aluminum beer cans surrounding me to probably cast a sword of some kind.
Oh no, Fuzzy, are you drunk?
No, not currently, just I'm a monster.
I've not cleaned up from the last time.
Several times.
Oh, Fuzzy. Stale beer smells disgusting. Please clean up your beer cans.
Implying I fucking have... There's a drop left in them.
I bet you're wondering why I gathered you here today.
This is an intervention. An
intervention of one.
This is a...
A one-tervention.
This is...
An out-tervention.
This is a mobile suit intervention.
a very special episode of Mobile Suit Fandom. Fuzzy, we love you. And your drinking is hurting us.
Oh, God. real.
Eject.
Eject.
It's almost as depressing as this fucking episode.
Yep, this episode is a doozy for a lot of reasons. It's episode 20, Hand-to-Hand Combat.
Or in Japanese,
Life or Death Struggle, White Base. There are two exclamation points. Like, it's Life or Death Struggle, exclamation point, White Base, exclamation point.
Yeah.
Which is a
they
weird...
They already know that White Base is also excited.
Yeah. But they're separate excited.
Yeah.
Like, I would have understood if it were, like, a colon, but no, it's exclamation points.
Yeah, I figured it would be a semicolon or a colon. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Nope. Two separate clauses, apparently.
Alright, let's get in this, I guess.
We have to get there eventually. If you recall last time, everyone, Amuro's in fucking jail.
Yeah, being real emo about it. But we get a good long scene of him just holding his fist out again.
Yeah.
What a fucking weird ass piece of shit.
Yeah, I was real confused what he was doing.
It's been a while since we watched the last episode, but it was like he had been like punching the wall or something, or was like doing the whole like Titans fit, like little fit kid determined kid emoji, an emoji meme. I'm old. By the way, everybody, hi, I'm 30 now. Ugh.
God, Chris, you don't immediately die because you're 30.
I'm telling that to me. I'm 30 and dead. Goodbye, everybody.
Chris.
Get on this fucking ice flow and bye.
Chris, no, come
bye,
back.
Everybody.
Chris, no, come back.
Bye.
Chris, God damn it. Chris, get back here. Fucking... Paddle that ice flow back. Yeah.
I paddled real hard, I'm back.
You know what I've never quite actually understood how they functioned? Gondolas? Like, from what I've seen, it's just a rod. It's not like an actual... It's not like a paddle.
Yeah, the floor, the sea floor is close, is like...
They're literally pushing it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I didn't realize that that's what they were doing.
Could you imagine if, like suddenly, like, water rose and your little stick couldn't reach the ground anymore, and you're like, well...
Well, fuck.
fuck.
When the sea bends you in the middle of the ocean, that's global warming.
We're bad at improv songs anyways.
Yeah, improv songs. Yeah, fucking, I wrote those two songs for fucking Always Cloudy, like, several weeks in advance.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they would have been bad. Anyway.
Welcome to Gondola Talk.
Welcome to Mobile Gondola Fandom. Mobile Suit Gondola. Mobile Suit Gondola.
Yeah, there we go, we got there.
That would have been, that's so good. I'm down.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Just an entire Italian-based Gundam. Actually, no, that's just if Gundam was made by Hirohiko Araki, the guy who did JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It would just be an Italian Gundam.
This would be a much different podcast. I would be much angrier.
Because all the Gundams would be posing magnificently.
Behind the scenes, everybody, JoJo breaks my head. I hate it. I hate JoJo. I'm a JoJo hater.
Have you tried? Like,
Mary was watching it because you guys infected her with your dumb fucking
dumb weeb
plague.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting here watching this episode. Also, like, I don't know. He like this one guy just shoves his fingers into a woman's mouth, and I'm just not into that.
Was it? It was Dio. Yeah.
I don't know. They were on a bridge. I don't know. It was real gross and creepy. And I didn't like it.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, there's a lot of villains in JoJo. The villains in JoJo are always really gross and creepy, which is kind of their point. Like, there is no such thing as a good... None of the villains are, like, really good in JoJo, except for, like, one minor one in part two who is unabashedly my favorite character, Wamuu. Fucking Wamuu.
There was another episode where, like, JoJo's trying to climb this dumb pillar to prove himself or whatever to
his
master.
Yeah, that's in part two, yeah.
And the whole episode was just them standing very, like, holding onto the side of this column, bitching about how hard it was to go up this column.
Yeah.
And then moving an inch, and then, like, water kills somebody, and then they're like, oh, this sucks, and let's just cling to this thing again. Oh, look, we're at the top!
Yep.
Okay.
There's a reason they skip that part, that episode, in the recut.
Oh. Well, anyways, point was... Oh, that was a very Kokoru's Dozan's Island type situation.
Yeah.
anyways, welcome to JoJo Talk.
Welcome.
JoJo's Bizarre Podcast.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to get out of that. JoJo's Bizarre Fandom. Gotta keep the brand identity, you know?
I'm just trying to stall.
Because this episode breaks you so deeply. I'm
not happy. There are some good things in this episode that the sad thing is also good, but...
Well, okay. It's something I immediately wish to talk about. So this episode starts with, you know, that shot of Amuro reminding you Amuro's in fucking jail because he deserves it. And then we cut to the bridge where Mirai is sewing. Which is kind of just cool that she has a bunch of hobbies.
Yeah, she's just fucking good at everything.
But then we cut to Sayla and Bright chilling on pillows? On giant pillows.
Giant, like, colorful pillows. Just, like, being hippies there on the bridge. It's
like
real
those,
nice.
Those things are 4x4, at least.
Yeah, they're little pillow mats.
Yeah, and, like... Yeah, where the fuck did they get those?
I don't know. They probably stole them from the children.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with them stealing as much from those children as possible. teach them what war really means.
Yeah, war is hell, children.
War is hell.
Give me your fucking beanbag.
Give me your beanbag chair. War is hell. War is hell.
Shut up or we'll put you in the fucking Gundam. Make you murder 17 men.
Yeah. That's pun.
Then beat you up and shove you in the brig.
God. Fucking. I'm just imagining fucking those kids getting punished, like, in the future. Like, you're grounded. Get in the fucking simulator and kill 700 men. You're not getting dinner until I get all of those kill cards.
You're not getting dinner until you bring me the head of a Zeon soldier.
Anyway. Okay. So them, they're just chilling on pillows, talking about Amuro and the situation and all that jazz, and also how they've been told by High Command to not move until Odessa Day.
Yep.
Also, Mirai comes over and sits next to Sayla, who immediately, like, snuggles her, and...
Yeah,
Sayla is high-key giving me those vibes.
Also, like, I'm into Mirai getting all the boyfriends and girlfriends she wants, so I'm down for it.
I'm really into that idea just because, like, she's clearly not designed, like, visual design-wise to be that, but, yep. I will tell you, there is an entire, like, section of the show later on about Mirai's relationship issues.
Oh.
Well, and, like, relationships in general, and...
Okay. Well, here's the thing.
It's interesting.
Mirai is the best pilot in the show.
Bar none.
And pilot... Bar none. She like, lands this thing. She does a, like, she could probably do a barrel roll in this fucking zebra.
That's not even a... She does that at one point. We've already seen her.
Right. Okay. Anyways, the point is, she's a hotshot pilot, and hotshot pilots fuck. Like, they get to fuck whoever they want. That's the point. If this was... If Mirai was a guy, he would be, like... Mirai would be Char and have babes just all over him because it's anime. So I think it should be... I don't know. I just think we should give Mirai just arm candy. Give Mirai arm candy 2017.
Give Mirai arm candy 2017. We're only, you know, 30 years late. More than 30 years late.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
Look, the point is, Mirai can get it.
Mirai can absolutely get it. We cut back down to the brig where Amuro just gets punched in the fucking mouth by Ryu.
Also, I wanna talk about this. Ryu is drawn like a fucking tank in this episode.
Yeah,
I noticed it later, in particular, I
think a different animation director was on this episode
because he used to be fat.
Yeah. Everyone in this episode is drawn like a JoJo character. Every single one of them is swole as shit this episode.
Yeah.
But so, in particular, so, our combat boys.
Ryu's a fucking square. He is...
Yeah. He is a brick shithouse in this episode. And there are several times where fucking... he is super triangular, too. Especially, like, in the frames mid-Amuro fucking hook.
Yeah, he looks... Like, no shit, 4 Amuro's big.
He
rocks this dude in the fucking face. I can't remember, I wish I had written down the exact line, but it was something like, Amuro was being a real shit to Ryu, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he was. He was being a shit just in general, because Amuro felt like he... hadn't done much wrong, and that...
Oh! I remember. It was Amuro, like, tried to say Ryu didn't care about him or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And fuck that, Ryu cares so much about everybody.
Yeah, Ryu really does. And that... But then this causes Ryu to punch the shit out of him. And then Amuro's immediate reaction is like, you put your whole fucking weight behind that punch, Jesus!
Jeez, don't hold back, Ryu, fuck.
Yeah, to which my immediate kind of thought was, nah, I didn't.
Yeah, no.
I bet you dollars to donuts if Ryu Jose were to actually punch you full force, you would die on it.
His fist is the size of Amuro's head.
Yeah, like, he's got to have a Mike Tyson swing on that fucking frame, like...
He's probably, like, half a Bright Noah.
Yeah, exactly.
In full force punch.
Yeah, I mean, as we know, Bright Noah can destroy an entire star system with a single backhand.
Yeah.
Or one protagonist. Plot armor. Which is still funny given the fact that, like, had Tomino got his way, Amuro would be dead already. like, dead ass, this would be about the time Amuro dies, this episode.
Yeah.
Ryu punches the shit out of him, and yep. We cut back up to the bridge where Hayato comes on,
Tiny bro.
Yeah, who, also this episode, drawn like a brick shit house.
Yeah,
like,
just a tiny little goblin muscle man.
Yeah, really though, and which makes sense given we have seen him before.
Yeah, he's
fucking
a judo master, right?
Yeah, and like he can bench Ryu, which like is dope as shit. Just
yeah,
baseline. It's hilarious that this tiny man is like, yeah, I can fucking throw anyone.
I'm starting to realize that Amuro is, like, baseline the least badass person on the ship.
Yeah, like, Amuro is, like, a vanilla badass, right? Like, yeah. He doesn't have anything extra special about him yet.
He's a badass because the plot needs him to be.
Yeah, meanwhile, Hayato, tiny man, capable of throwing huge dudes without much effort. Judo master, all around badass. Ryu, giant man, ace fighter pilot,
yeah.
Brave as
trains
fuck.
Trains his ass off.
Kai.
Has the biggest heart. Kai, yeah, is a piece of shit, but.
Piece of shit, spindly, cowardly man, still capable of running into battle and hitting shit with the gun cannon from real far fucking way. Mirai speaks for herself. Sayla, drawn to be, so she's drawn to be this fucking, like, elegant prissy lady who just mans the comms, and yet
she
jumps in front of the line of fire like that.
Yeah, she wants to be the damn protagonist for sure.
Yes.
And you know what? I bet if they let her, she would get there. Like, Amuro was shitty in the beginning, too.
Well, like, I'm not sure if it's in this version of the show. And, like, minor spoilers for the movie recuts of the show. Sayla is a fighter pilot in, like, the second half. The entire time. Because they replace a lot of how shit works in the movies. And they take out some of the silly super robot stuff that we're gonna get into as the show progresses here. And they replace it with, like, essentially this big old fucking booster that goes onto the back of a core fighter, turning a core fighter into, like, an actual space fighter jet. That's also fuck huge. And she's just a fighter pilot the entire fucking time and kicks ass. And I'm like, that's dope as shit. So Sayla, also a badass.
Yeah.
Bright is middle
Bright
management.
Backhands,
but he also has the backhand. Yes. And it's everyone else except, like, Char and Amuro have legs up on them. And then Char has the mask, which makes him infinitely more cooler than Amuro. So Amuro really,
shit red.
Yeah. Amuro really is the baseline of mediocrity badassness.
Yeah, he's very vanilla. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
The milk toast of badasses. And literally the villains all have doper badasses too, like Ramba and,
I'll be honest, every time they say Kaecilia's name, I get excited because she's so cool looking.
She is very cool looking. and then, of course, the Duke himself, Degwin Zabi, he's got a monster dong.
Yeah,
fucking, like, how can you compete with a monster dong?
You really can't, Fuzzy. You see, it's just, it's so monstrous.
Yeah.
Like, It breaks the mind to fathom. So
yeah, interesting fact. Later on in the show, one of the major bases of Zeon is called Ao Bawa Kwa. It's a giant asteroid in space. It's not actually an asteroid. It's Degwin Zabi's monster dong. That's its secret.
It's a secret.
Yep.
It's his left testicle.
Yep. Anyway.
Back to this.
Yeah, so Hayato comes in and is like, Bright, you have no intention of taking Amuro off of the Gundam, do you? And you just put him in the brig to make him think about his actions. And then Kai comes in and drops some more of the similar logic, and Ryu comes in with the same thing, and Bright's just like, you got me, yeah. Amuro may be a shit now, but we can mold him into a warrior, and he has damn well proven himself in that Gundam, and we need him, so I have no intention of doing that. You're all right. This was a bad choice.
Yeah, it turns out, when you give one shitty little teenager preferential treatment over your actual soldiers, they lose a little bit of morale.
Yep. So we'll loop back around to that in a hot second.
Oh no, I'm sure that won't come up again.
Yeah.
So we go to our boy.
Yeah, we cut over to Ramba, who is on the phone, and he hangs up, and he's like, shit, Hamal, we gonna get some DOMs.
Yeah, and I got really excited, because I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, they're gonna get him we're gonna see him in a new mobile suit.
Yeah, I also got very excited, because I know what the DOM looks like, and what it's one of my favorites. Did I give Sid a DOM?
I will look it up real quick.
I don't think I gave Sid a Dom, because I think I kept it because I like the Dom.
Oh yeah, I've seen these. These look dope.
Yeah, these are dope. Fucking sick. They're so cool. God, I love the Dom. if nothing else, I love the Dom because it has huge fucking bell bottoms. Like it is the bell bottomiest. Real good. That and the shoulders, that swoop, and I love its head because that cross fucking mono eye. I really wish there were more mobile suits with just like big old cross faces. Because fuck, man, it looks cool. That's it. That's really all of it. Shit. I have a big old religious aesthetic for a guy very not religious, very big on that aesthetic.
Well, yeah, because you're big into Warhammer.
I mean, yes, that too, but even in Warhammer, my favorite look of all of the dudes is the Word Bearers Legion, who fucking, like, all the pictures of their demon Primarch guy, he's always holding a Bible. He has a space Bible and a space Pope mace.
And he's... This is a pretty good time to plug Grimdorks. which I think I am now the other woman to that, the Grimdorks trifecta OT3.
Yeah, those couple of months of not recording, yeah, unfortunately.
I've been displaced. It's okay. I can be your mistress.
Yeah. You're my podcasting mistress. As well as the regular one. But anyway, getting back to the current episode, which we're really bad at, we cut over now to Mikuve, and Mikuve, in the only room apparently he has, is kind of just being himself, being a backstabbing dude, and being like, yeah. We can't really...
Shifty French guy.
Yeah, we can't really let Ramba just have the run of the place, because he knows too much shit already, so...
He could also fuck us up real good.
Everybody
likes him.
We also, importantly, learn that Caecilia already has plans on the throne of Zeon right now. Which is saying something.
It's a large codpiece to fill, but if anybody can,
yep.
I'm sure it's a bit.
Fun fact: for most people, that codpiece is a bathtub. Meanwhile, Hayato, Kai, and two others whose names I immediately forgot, and their faces aren't even drawn for this entire episode.
They were just there to take up the extra seats in the tank.
Grab a jeep and leave.
Yep.
They just bail. And...
Which, I'm like, why wouldn't you take the fucking hover buggy? And then we find out it's because Ryu's going to take that fucking hover buggy.
Yeah, Ryu jumps in the hover buggy and is like, I'm going to go fucking chase after them. And Bright's like, go chase after him. And so he does. Bright and Mirai then have a brief conversation where Bright's...
I don't know about in the Japanese subtitles, but this was a very awkwardly very awkward dialogue in the dub.
What was it in the dub?
He says something like, during all the excitement with Amuro deserting and everything, so one very important piece of information was overlooked. And she's like, what? When Amuro's not around, I get extremely uneasy. And I'm like, okay, wow. That was a very cumbersome way to bring that up.
They led into that a little bit more naturally in the Japanese, because in the Japanese, the way they kind of set it up was Bright clearly realized how he fucked up in talking to the boys.
Yeah.
And he basically says something along the lines of, they don't understand where I'm coming from, because whenever Amuro's not around, I feel incredibly uneasy. That's kind of the way it's phrased in the Japanese. It makes direct reference to the boys, which I think is what that was going for, but did very badly in English. But yes, so Bright feels uneasy when Amuro isn't around, which I believe is called the protagonist gestalt field, where whenever the protagonist
is that
isn't...
Is that pronounced gestalt? I thought it was gestalt.
I say gestalt.
Ah, that doesn't sound nearly as cool as I hoped it would then.
Hold on, let's...
I know we don't need to look this up, Fuzzy.
No, I'm looking.
Fuzzy, we are live. We are broadcasting live.
Fuck, I can't... I don't know how international pronunciation guide works.
It's okay. So anyways, yeah, apparently, his mojo's gone when Amuro's not around.
Yes, his mojo is very gone. Hold on. It's gestalt. That's worse.
Oh, that is terrible. Never mind, let's go back. That's erase. Okay, hey, look, no time is...
Look at that, no time passed. So, we cut back to Ramba, and he learned...
So sad.
So, a ship comes down, and a guy comes out and tells Ramba he's not getting the DOMS, to which Ramba is like, Ick, fucking excuse me? Fine. I'ma do this shit with my own 2 feet, you punk bitch.
Yeah, his line in the English dub was something like, I don't care if do you let Makuve know that I'll take down White Base if I have to use my own bare hands.
Yeah, he says the same thing in Japanese.
And I'm like, damn, Ramba. Damn.
Ramba is ready, willing, and able to take a sledgehammer to White Base until he wins.
Yeah.
Or dies in the process. And also, as the other guy walks away, he, like, mutters to himself, man, that fucking stubborn old war horse. I understand where that nickname comes from. And I'm like, that's a dope fucking nickname.
Yep. That's what he is.
Yep. So at this...
He's here to war.
Yeah.
And he's heavy. And he's hung like a... Wait, hold on.
Wait a minute. So as Robba walks back to Haman, he's like, I guess we'll have to go with my old standby. Guerrilla tactics.
And I'm just like, how about instead of attacking head on, we fuck him up just a little bit.
And I'm just like, what, your old standby? That's just, that's what you just whipped out whenever? Like, I'm out of ideas. Time to do guerrilla tactics.
Time to hit and run.
Yeah,
and they don't even do, really.
Yeah, they don't do that. But at the same
he means is a boarding maneuver.
Yeah. What I really want to do now is like go watch the Gundam The Origin anime, and because you see hot-headed young Ramba in that, apparently.
Yeah.
And I really just want to see like fucking 30 minutes of Ramba Rao's Vietnam tour, like just fucking shit up. Anyway, so we cut back to Ryu, who catches up with Hayato and Kai and those two other guys who literally don't have faces.
They don't matter.
And we learn that, big surprise, Hayato and Kai fucked off because
they have no faith in Bright because Bright puts all of his faith and chips on Amuro.
Yeah.
And they're just like, fuck that, why would I stay when clearly we're not valued, so we're gonna find another Federation platoon and join up with them. Which, mad props for them not just being like, fuck the war. It's like, no, we're gonna go fight with someone who gives a shit.
But also, that's not how armies work. They're gonna get charged for desertion.
Well, also, like, they aren't technically part of the army.
They are, though, aren't they?
I
thought it was just Amuro and like...
No, Ryu is the only actual enlisted serviceman in... And Bright. Bright?
Yeah.
Sayla might be? I'm not sure.
Hold on, wait. Mirai was a transport pilot, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, Mirai was not. Bright is. Oh my god. Sayla might be.
Wait. No, Kai and Hayato are pilots, aren't they?
No. Hayato definitely isn't. Hayato was in high school with Amuro and Frau.
Oh shit, you're right.
I forget about Kai. I'm pretty sure he isn't, though.
Oh no. These children.
Yeah, these children, alright.
I'm a bad person.
For what?
Just not giving a fuck about Kai.
I mean, he's 18. He might have been a... yeah, no, he isn't. He's just a dude. He's a civilian as well.
Man, that means... I'm sure we've already talked about this, and I've just forgotten because we took that break. But fuck, that just makes Mirai even cooler.
Yeah. We talked about it a lot. Don't you worry.
Okay.
Fucking, it's real cool that fucking Mirai just is like, yep, let's get in, fuckers.
I guess I'm piloting this skyscraper now.
Yep. This is my job now.
Alright, anyways. Yeah, they're not happy. And Ryu's like, you gotta fucking go back to war.
Yep.
No.
We cut over to the Gallop, who does a sick leap over a canyon.
Boop, boop, boop.
They've
got fucking thrusters, like a pink laser thruster that's going off.
It's real cool.
It's fucking, the Gallop is galloping.
Yep. Ryu, back to Ryu, he seems to solve all his problems this episode with right hooks, and he punches Kai in the fucking stomach.
Knocks him the fuck down, and Kai says something like, you can't change a man's mind by violence, which, yes, true. You realize you're fighting a war, though, right?
Like, yeah.
Like, everything is violence?
Like, right, that's the point? Are you aware that is what you were attempting to do, like, grand scale? No? Yeah. Alright.
Punch him again!
Punch him again. That's probably how the rest of this conversation went off screen. and we just aren't privy to that section.
Because we see the Gallop.
Yes. The dust cloud of the Gallop, all of them notice and they're all like, fucking duck!
Whoa!
So they all do, and then Ryu's like, I gotta go back and warn White Base. And then there's a moment where Hayato jumps in the Jeep and is like, so we're going back, right? And Kai's like, yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
But before...
I got stomach punched back.
Yeah. And then before Kai gets in, he pauses a moment and goes, I just got a sudden chill. Odd. Alright, let's go. In the business, we call that foreshadowing.
Yeah. Also, I just realized something. It's a little spoilery for later, but I think Ryu might actually have Bright punch powers, because when he punches people, they start acting right.
Yeah, true.
Because, spoiler, Amuro starts acting right.
Well, Amuro seems to be real prepared during this episode, because, like, we cut back to White Base around this time. Fucking, he's putting on his uniform. And, like, punching in the air and, like, getting ready as if he's ready to go. Because he can't possibly know the Gallop is headed this way yet.
Yep.
So he's
unless he's some sort of psychic.
Hmm. But, like, he's getting ready and shit way in advance, which kind of just seems like he's trying to be perpetually on the ready, which is pretty cool. That, and he keeps thinking about how Ramba went in, like, the only reason you won this fight is because of the Gundam.
Yeah.
So, we cut back to the Gallop that is launching a Zaku and two odd-looking tank things.
So, can we talk about these now, or do we want to talk about them when they happen?
I mean, we can talk about them now, yes.
These aren't tanks!
They're called Qs, apparently. Qs. Cuisinarts.
Yeah. They're called food processors.
Yep.
I hate these things. Like, this is coming from the guy who loves the dumb gun parry.
Yep.
I hate these things.
Yeah, the Kui. It is a troop transport tank. It was designed to transport infantry soldiers equipped with personal jets.
It's a moving wall.
Yeah, literally, it's a moving wall.
It's literally, it has one, it has these little turrets on it that I don't think ever get fired, really.
Yeah, it also has a space version, interesting fact.
Okay, I guess they're in spacesuits. I'm like, well, no, they will die!
Yeah, they'll be in spacesuits.
Look, I'm not the brightest fucking crayon in the tool shed.
We know.
My heart.
There's actually a really cool, this is a painting, actually, of three Kuis traveling, or four Kuis traveling with three Zaku 2s, or Zaku 1s, excuse me. Actually, fuck me, I think... Shit, that's Ramba Rao's Zaku 1 up in the front, I think.
Oh, shit.
Is that what's... I can't...
Fuzzy, this is terrible podcasting.
Shit, you're right, yeah. Yeah, that is Ramba Rao's up in front, cool. I mean, I'm gonna post it on the Twitter later, so that fucking...
Okay,
cause sounds good. Thing I learned from fucking doing Grimdorks, people like it when you post what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. It seems like a lot of work.
Fun fact, every once in a while I have to go, oh yeah, I need to delete all those pictures I save on my phone, because it's a whole hassle to, like, have to log in and log out on a computer.
Yeah.
So instead I just do it all on my phone, because you can have multiple sign-ins on the Twitter app.
Yep.
Which I don't understand why you can't do that on the fucking...
Because it's the same reason why they're still Nazis. It's just too difficult. It's just too difficult for Twitter. They're much more interested in letting you post blogs than you know, doing important work like getting rid of Nazis.
Yeah, or that's true.
Letting you have multiple sign-ins.
It's true. That said, you know,
those are equally. By the way, equally important issues that Twitter needs to address.
Yep, definitely equal. Absolutely equal. I mean, consider the counterpoint. If they ban all the Nazis now, then when Giren Zabi gets a Twitter account, we won't know. Because he's Space Hitler.
Yeah.
I really want to drive home the point that Giren is Space Hitler. And only going to get worse.
I was listening to, I think it was the most recent episode we posted as of the time of recording this. And me and you were like real complimentary towards the son's speech.
Yes.
Because it was a very like Hitler-esque speech. But we never like said the words.
Space
Hitler.
Like,
we were Hitler. Like, oh, that's a... Well, we never said the words, like, oh, we kept saying, that's a good speech, it's a good speech, but we never said, like, for an evil guy speech. Like, I just want to point out, like, we're not
We're not space Nazis. We really want to hammer home the point that...
The writers of the anime did a good job of writing a Hitler speech,
yes.
Is what we were trying to say.
Yes. That said, space noids forever. So we continue onwards. As it launches these two GUIs or KUIs and a Zaku. I liken them to a siege tower, but horizontal. Ramba is standing on the gun tower of one of the KUIs, just like wind in his hair, being like, this is the feeling of war. And I'm like,
also, like, damn. there are Yeah, there are, I don't know if it's at this point or later, but they at one point they open fire on these things, and like bullets are flying past it with lasers. Lasers are flying past his head. He does not give one fuck. He's like,
he's Ron Burrell.
Well, that doesn't fucking help him in a minute, Fuzzy.
It's true. The white base, also another instance of Ramba in this shot on top of the tower.
Yeah.
Is normally he's drawn like as a portly short man.
Yeah,
and in this shot, he's drawn like an 80s action hero.
Yeah. So the Ramba Rawl of my heart has like a muscly guy who drinks too much beer bod.
Yeah, know? Yeah. He's power lifter bod, kind of.
Yeah, you can tell he's going to rock your socks off if you fuck with him. But he is not, like, cut or impressed. He's just...
Yeah,
He's a dad, you know?
Yeah, he's got a real case of strong dad bod.
Yeah. But in this one, they're like, no, he's a fucking marble statue.
Yes! They even draw him, like, with a more cut face at several angles.
You know, and I'm not into it, if I'm being honest. I like him being my huggable badass dad.
Yeah, that's real fair.
I want him to give me hugs.
Yeah.
Lift me up. Lift me on my shoulders.
He can, too, probably.
I know.
He can probably bench press a... He can probably bench press a fucking Zaku.
I literally think he bench presses Hamon for fun and sex. Well, I mean, what? No. Yes. I would let Rob bench press me.
Bench pressing your partner for love and sex. Yeah. For fun and sex.
Yeah. And love.
And love. title of my new book series. my new workout plan. Advert time. Commercial.
Shout!
We come back.
Not prepared.
Yeah.
Shout!
Amuro, is eating a sandwich.
We really need to put something between those shouts. I'm just not yelling shout.
My secret plan is in the future when we're big enough to have advertisers to actually put that in, huh? Yeah, see?
But, okay, I keep forgetting to say things like this. But you fuckers never talk to us. You fucker, if you're listening to me right now, I have not heard from you. You're a piece of shit, and you need to send me messages, and maybe we'll read those between those.
Yeah, there's that too.
Maybe that's what we'll do. Maybe you tell us, just call us, tell us how much you fucking, like, tweet us, say how much you hate us, email us.
Ask us a question.
Put a review on the thing. Ask questions. We are Gundam experts. Well, okay, Fuzzy's a Gundam expert, and I'm a piece of shit who's going to make fun of everything you say. But
it's objectively true.
Send us a fucking message, you dicks.
Yeah.
And, well, okay, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you know what I always find the best way to get audience interaction is insult them. Insult them as much as possible. just get like a real Arlie Army thing going on. Just get up right in the audience face and yell at them that they're probably the kind of guy to fuck you in the ass and not even have the common courtesy to give you a decent reach around.
Okay, listen to me, Fuzzy. I love each and every one of our listeners that talk to us.
I see we're returning to the form of the divisive fucking fan base. Chris loves the entire fan base equally, except for all of the people he doesn't.
All the ones that love me back, Fuzzy.
Okay.
I am 30. I don't have time to fuck around. I'm in this for serious relationships. I'm
no
gonna be
hookups.
Dead in like 6 months.
It's true. You are.
I need
active. You're wasting away. You're a corpse. You're on borrowed time.
I am the fucking crypt keeper of this fucking podcast right now. I am just. I need love to keep me alive.
Okay, got
Fuzzy.
It.
I'm dying.
Okay.
I need love.
Yeah, we'll,
of our piece of shit fans.
We'll get the love. We'll tweet it out too. I'll tweet it out now so that, you know, you can get love sooner, because otherwise they're not gonna get love till you're not gonna get any love till February.
Fuzzy, I'm tired.
Chris.
What?
Bring it back. Sandwich. Sandwich. Amuro eats a sandwich.
Yeah.
The vehicles charge. The gallop fucks off the other direction.
Okay, I think I got some love. I feel it.
Romba looks okay. Super buff.
Oh, Romba.
Yeah, see, that's the love you needed.
My love of Romba.
There you go. And most importantly, Sayla is like, motherfuckers coming at us! Also, the two boys who work in the high chairs apparently actually do something, because they run in and are like, we overslept, sorry.
They oh, also, shit.
They run in together, having both overslept, ooh. Which kind of, yeah, that was my immediate thought, like, oh. Which probably they just have their bunk room happens to be, like, a double-decker in the same room.
No, that's bullshit, because we know there's only, like, 17 people and, like, 3,000 bedrooms.
That is also true. So they chose to
sleep in the same room. Look, don't take this away from me. They're lovers.
Okay, they're lovers.
Okay.
These two nameless high chair guys. I love
Fuzzy.
What? They hold hands in the background when you're not watching.
Thank you.
In the high chairs.
Yes.
And they do apparently do something. They're responsible for a lot of the systems of, like, making sure everything on the bridge actually fucking runs, and also aiming all of the guns.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of cool. I'm glad I finally learned what the shit they do up there. So, meanwhile, combat starts in full.
Yes.
Sayla runs to the Gundam and is immediately like, I'm gonna take a Gundam and go... And Bright's like, and do it.
Bright says, thank you. And I'm like, didn't you get mad at her last time she did this?
He's saying thank you for asking permission this time. Thank you for the heads up.
Thank you for not protagonisting me.
Yeah. That's the real thank you. Bright yells at Fra to go let Amuro out. Amuro gets let out by Fra, and at no point he's complains. Like,
where's the Gundam?
Yeah, he doesn't say that. He's like,
no, I think he says, "Where's the Gundam?" And she says, "Sayla's in it," but he doesn't get upset about it.
In mine, he doesn't make any mention of the Gundam. Fra just goes, "Sayla took out the Gundam, so you're on the port guns." And he's like, "Dope, going."
All right,
and he just fucking goes and like, "I'm proud of you. Yeah. You did it."
Because he got punched in the face by Ryu.
The glory of punches. Remember, audience, if beat your
children.
Yeah, I'll just skip to the chase. Yeah, beat.
Also, don't beat your children. Okay, I made that joke. Don't fucking hit your children.
Yeah. don't beat your kids.
It's not even funny. Don't.
I mean, I sometimes think it's funny, but I'm a bad person. basically, my immediate time, anytime someone's kid does something wrong, usually my first joke is to quote Bender. Have you ever turned off the TV, sat down with your child, and beat them? Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't take life advice from Bender Bending Rodriguez.
Don't take life advice from either of us either.
Well, hold on. What are you talking about? I'm a fucking guru. I'm 30, Fuzzy. I'm a wizened old man.
Chris, if you're a wizened old man, I'm.
I am the king sitting of France. Atop the mountain. Come to me and seek my wisdom, Fuzzy.
I don't want to climb a mountain in order to seek your wisdom. We can instead just get okay, lunch.
Well, then bathe with me in the sea.
What? Can we make less spiritual plans? Like maybe brunch or something? Maybe go to an arcade? No, it all has to be spiritual. I have to fucking...
No, it all has to be a part of Savage Garden's truly... madly, deeply, I want a Savage Garden.
I
want to stand with you on the mountain. I want to bathe you in the sea. I want to live like this forever.
The only Savage Garden song I know is the one that was at the end the good of one. Part 4 of JoJo.
shit, is it I Want You? Because that's the best.
It's I Savage Want You,
Garden
yes.
It's such a good Savage Garden song.
Yep, that's the ending song for Part 4 of JoJo.
Well, fucking Part 4, get your greasy fucking mitts off of my fucking Savage Garden song.
Fuck you, Part 4 is good!
Let's do this fucking... We gotta get here.
It's better than Part 1 and 2. Yeah. I think you'll actually like Part 3 and 4 of JoJo. Yeah.
You know what I'm not gonna like? fucking what's about to happen to this goddamn
It's place. True. So, Amuro goes, starts shooting. This is also the point where I looked at Hayato as Hayato and Ryu were getting back to White Base, and Kai, because Hayato's entire facial model is slightly different here.
Yeah, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, and also he's fucking jacked along with everyone else. So, the boys riding back look and see Ramba, and it's like, we know what he's about to do, fuck. And Bright also separately on the bridge sees them and goes, I know what he's about to do, fuck. Because everyone realizes he's going to try to storm White Base. We also learn that the commando tanks are called Qs at this point.
Qs.
Whatever, Jesus.
Q, the letter Q.
He says Q in Japanese, so
fuck
you.
That's me told.
Yeah. Sayla is getting her shit kicked in by the one Zaku, and Amuro starts shouting at her some backseat piloting tips.
But it works!
Which works, and she fucking snipes the dude's head off.
Yeah, it's real rough.
It's real... And
also, when she's getting when she's getting shot and rocketed, all of the hits are hitting her fucking face.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. They're just explosions on the Gundam's face. Like, fuck, man. Which, aim for somewhere else.
This also is the part in the episode where I took notice of, this episode is fucking violent. Like,
this is one of, yeah.
Like, a lot of the other episodes, and this is also the first episode where we see actual on-screen bloody death.
Right.
Like, there's other, like, yeah, sure, there's other episodes where guys, like, air quotes, die, get evaporated, get blasted out of things, but, well, like, in the next shot, a dude, a Zeon soldier is shot to bits.
Well, there's also, hold on, if I remember correctly, there was one bit where they're, civilians were escaping White Base and Char just fucking murdered a few of them.
I don't remember.
They don't count because fuck.
Well, they also didn't have blood, whereas this episode has blood, which is pretty different.
Yeah, it has like weird streams, arcing ropes of blood.
Yes, as dudes get shot in this episode, I'm like, oh shit.
Oh fuck, people are dying.
Yeah, and also like the animation of them dying clearly had some time put into it. Like the Zaku animation of it getting its head blown off—that's a new shot. Like we haven't seen that before. It's a cool shot, though. It fucking spins around, falls down. It's really good looking. Mirai, at this point, realizes, oh shit, they're trying to capture White Base.
She said something like, if they weren't trying to take the White Base, the Gallop would be pummeling us much harder right now.
Yeah.
I guess it's fair, like, she's not a military person. Like, it's okay that she's just now realized this.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's probably not even something immediately obvious, you know, especially if you're not in the military normally. Anyway, so the attack begins in full force as the Zeon crew starts jumping on with jetpacks. The jetpacks are doofy looking, but the music while this is all happening is dope as shit, and we see a lot of on-screen dudes dying. In Ramba's words, this is war.
I like that we see a bunch of new people in those fucking blue Minutemen uniforms.
And they immediately get shot.
They immediately get fucking killed. One of them reminded me a lot of Bright, and I like, in my head, like the guy who came out of a door and got shot instantly.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's Bright's cousin.
Yep.
I don't know. I just, in my head, that's definitely Bright's relative, and it's dead now.
Yep.
Fucking.
Rip. So, Ramba is also a gentleman this whole time. Like, at one point, Fra turns the corner with a gun, and his immediate snap reaction is knock the gun away and go, if you were armed, I would have to kill you. Which is the best way of saying, I'm letting you live.
Also, yeah, he's slowly, as he's marching through the White Base, he's realizing that these are all fucking children.
Yeah, and then
and he is not happy about it.
He's very conflicted. And then there's another part where his second-in-command for this op, whose name I forgot immediately, he jumps up to the bridge and
I love this bit.
And plans to blow the window, but Kiki
is a little kid.
Kiki is making faces at him and like kicking at him from the door, like, and yelling at him,
"Go away, kid! You're gonna get hurt."
Yeah, and he's like, "What the fuck is a child doing on the bridge of a war machine? What the fuck?"
I'd also like to point out, he never stops arming that bomb, though.
Like, he's got a job to do, but, like,
his like, words... I don't want to kill you, kid, as he's planting the bomb to kill this kid.
Yeah, like, he, at the end of the day, it's war, and he knows that, but, like, still, he's very, like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. And, yeah, so because he blows again, the thing, Mirai...
Rumble's team are good people. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Good people for the fighting, again, not defending these space Nazis. Good people fighting for the wrong side.
Yes.
Okay, go.
And so we, he arms the bomb, that window blows out, Mirai saves Kiki, unfortunately. much to my dismay. Amuro ends up in a hand-to-hand fight, but Bright just blows the dude's fucking head out, and...
Yeah! And yes! Was fucking, I saw it, and I'm like, yes!
The worst part is, like, that guy clearly had to have seen Bright coming, and Bright stone-cold executed him. And I'm just like...
I didn't get time to fuck around.
Yeah, and Bright's just like, go switch with Sayla. And he's like, Amuro's like, alright.
Oh, shit.
Bright also tells Amuro, they're going to try to take the sub-bridge. I don't care if White Base gets damaged. Make sure they don't.
He says, blow up the fucking sub-bridge if you have to.
Yeah. Fuck, he... It's the closest thing to kill everyone that I have ever heard, and I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. So Amuro runs out, switches with Sayla. Sayla runs in, starts blasting fools. In particular, she runs to the sub-bridge, and as she busts in, Ramba sees her. And
he's like, oh.
And he goes, princess? And she's like, well, what? How do you know that?
No, I definitely know you. You are definitely Princess Artesia.
Yeah, you're Artesia Zeon.
Bum, bum, bum.
Daughter of, fucking, what's his name, shit? Papa Zeon.
We named him something ridiculous.
Well, he has a name, I just fucking forget.
Yeah, fuck him.
What?
His middle name's Light, or like... Thrusters.
Zeon some Daekun. Sorry. My bad. I get Daekun refused. Her name is Artesia Daekun. Daekun. Fuck. Artesia Daekun. Shit. Daekun. There you go. but yeah. Princess Artesia. And he reminds, say, like, you must not remember me, but I'm that, this guy's, son. I met you when you were a small girl, and...
We have a frame of, like, a still frame of him playing with her as a shot.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad. And then fucking Ryu plugs him in the gut.
Yeah, and then Ryu's like, Sailor, get down! And Boosh! Fucking fucking shoots Ramba, like, square in the gut, to which Ramba fucking shoots like, him. He pops him, like, twice in the chest.
Yeah, and oh, Ryu goes down to a fucking knee and is like, and then fucking returns fire. There's just, everybody in this episode's good.
Yeah. Ramba then slams the door and calls Haman up and is like, just blow White Base, and also, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry, I'm not gonna get back.
No. Oh.
But before he can finish the call... A giant fucking mace busts in and kills everyone in there but Ramba. The door opens up and the Gundam peeks in, and Ramba is like, you know, for a bunch of kids, you all did fantastically in fighting, and you win. But it's time to show you how a true soldier dies.
Yeah.
And he grabs a grenade, pulls the pin, and... I'm gonna adjust this slightly, because in the animation it doesn't make as good of a job of showing what he was trying to do. In the comic of the origin, he bum rushes the Gundam and tries to jump on its face. Whereas in the animation, he kind of just like runs and then jumps out of the broken wall and just kind of starts falling, and the Gundam tries to catch him. But either way, that grenade does what grenades do, and there is only a fireball left for the Gundam to grab. Haman sees this, and understands what has occurred and begins opening fire with the gallop. And Amuro's like, please stop. Ramba Rao is dead.
Which, like, fucking you don't understand. Like, just that's not how war works, Amuro.
Yeah.
Also, it's not how a woman who finds out the love of her life and swinging partner has just died.
Yeah.
Reacts.
Either way, she doesn't listen, and so he does a really fucking cool thing here, where he takes the javelin.
I hate this thing.
While the javelin itself is dumb, I think what he's about to do is fucking dope, because he fucking pops that thing, grabs it, and does like a mile-long javelin throw.
Straight through the center of the gallop.
Which blows it.
Also, like, do that shit earlier, Amuro.
Yeah, for real. Hamon proceeds to bail, because apparently the cockpit on this thing is the side! It's not the little head on top!
I was gonna mention, which is A, smart, but B, like, it would be very strange to pilot that thing, because you're, like, facing to the left and
forward. I'm gonna guess it... The pilot uses the little head on top, like that's probably a sensor array or something.
Probably.
But also, you're talking to a guy who thought for years that the like, I own a Gallop toy. Like, it is a scale Gallop action toy with a gun. Like, the gun has little spring shooters, the big fucking gun. The thing opens up, you can put all of your Gundams in it. That's where I stored like 90% of my Gundams for years. The turrets are kind of twisted up and fucked up, but I still love that fucking thing and I probably will never give it away. Because I love it.
Yeah.
Point being, though, I thought that I thought the long edge was the front, not the fucking, the short edge.
Yeah.
But there it is. Either way, Gallop gets fucking murderized.
Yeah, and she has to... And also, she ejects it, and it's just a cool little, like, manta ray-looking ship.
Yeah. It's a little friend.
Just takes off.
Yeah.
Bye.
Gallop blows up. Hamon escapes. She'll probably be back. Amuro... No,
I'm sure not.
Amuro watches her go. We then hard cut to... Bright, Sayla, Hayato, and Kai carrying the wounded Ryu on a stretcher. No music, with Bright narrating, carry him quietly.
Yeah.
And it's like darkened edges and episode ends.
Yeah. This episode... This is a really good episode.
It's
despite
a very
the weird animation. Like... I don't know. Like generally when I watch these, there are a bunch of bits where I'm like, "Oh, this was," which there were a dialogue problem. Like, you know, there's a lot of things in this one that were just like, "Oh, it's the '70s, '90s, '70s/90s."
Yeah.
They did what they could, but there's a lot of them where I'm like, "Oh, this was just fucking stupid." And in this one, throughout most of the episode, I was like, "Oh, this is interesting and good and different." And like they tried different things. There was, you know, a lot of hand-to-hand combat.
Credits roll. Da 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 da.
My buddy died.
Yeah.
I. It's so dumb because it's a show about war, but like a little part of me was like, maybe Ramba Rao will be a good guy.
Well, here's also the other thing, because this episode definitely marks a real big turning point within the show. Now, we are just, we're two episodes away from the halfway point of 0079.
This was The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, it really is. This is about the Empire Strikes Back section of the show. And there are 43 episodes of this show, and this is episode 20. And basically, from here on in, everything's just... It gets heavier and heavier from here. Like...
Oh, man.
This is the...
It gets shorter and shorter because we don't have as much to make fun of.
Well, that's the thing. We're going to have more to just legitimately talk about, right? Because, and that's why I think Gundam is really cool, because despite the fact there is some goofiness still coming up, don't you fucking worry. Like, we still have all of the Fuck, what are they called? Let me scroll real quick.
Well, we also still have two masked villains.
Yeah, we still have two masked villains. We still have all of the fucking mobile armor shits, the B parts to the Gundam. The G armor, the G bull, the G fighter, and the G sky. We have all of those coming up.
Oh, beautiful. Great. Okay, good. I'm less depressed now.
Yeah, they're all very something. Every time I see Gundam plus B parts, it's so bad.
I'm gonna not Google that. I'm gonna wait.
No, you need to wait. When is its first appearance even? I don't even know. I don't remember, because I actively repress this part. either way, though, there's plenty coming up, but this is definitely the point in the show where shit changes. Yeah. And the characters, and thus the audience as well, understands, in Ramba Rao's words, this is war.
Yep.
This is really what it means to be in a war.
And war is hell.
War is hell.
And it never changes.
Yep, and that's where kind of just the rest of the show goes. And, like, even coming up in the next, like, four episodes, there's one kind of goofy episode, there's couple of sad ones. I forget what the Trap of Makuve is like. The point being, hoolad, there's a lot to go on here.
Right. Next time.
Next time on Mobaru Suit Gundam. Actually, hold on real quick. I'm going to take a real quick look at something, because I realized that the wiki has animation directors. This episode had a different animation director than, like, normal. And a different unit director, I think.
We sleuthed.
Yeah. Like, straight up, I think it's wildly...
What's this hero's name? This buff-loving hero?
This animation director was Kazuo Tomizawa.
Okay, Kazuo Tomizawa. Why'd you make everybody so buff?
Yeah, I'm gonna... Yeah, because it seems like this guy's different than the normal crew. Because, like, I'm going through and seeing a bunch of names repeated in a lot of other places.
Yeah.
But also, this is a long series that ran for, you know, a year every week, and so people had to change around a lot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if during this time, you know, everyone was working on a different episode, essentially. Because they had to get through a lot.
Yep.
But yeah. Next episode, Haman Strikes Back. Hey, remember Isolina's Love Remains? It's that, but it's Haman now.
Which means I immediately love it more, because Haman's so good.
Yep. This.
She's in a fucking flight suit, and she looks dope.
Yep. Next episode, Sorrow and Hatred, or, if you would rather know the Japanese title, Intense Battle of Intense Sorrow.
A better title.
Yeah, it is. Will you be able to survive?
Amuro.
Every fucking time.
I just...
So sad.
My buddy's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
They killed my dad.
Yeah, they killed your dad. They killed all our dad. But... Rest, he goes to Gundam Valhalla.
Yeah, and Gundam build fighters.
Yeah, and more than that, he is happy in Gundam Valhalla.
Oh, yes, good.
Which, it's what he deserved. Just real quick, probably the funniest thing I find about Ramba's appearance in Gundam Valhalla is the fact that even in the context of Gundam Valhalla, or even in Build Fighters, like, he's part of the Zeon cosplayers and Build Fighters club, and they all refer to him as, Major. And it's fucking great. It's very funny, and I highly enjoy it. Is he a Major, or is he a fucking Colonel, or fucking what? Either way, point being, he's cool
the
shit.
Major Colonel of my heart.
Damn right he is. Right. Also, fun fact, he is known alternately as the Blue Nova or the Blue Giant.
Or the Blova.
Or the... Never say those words to me ever again. How what, fucking Blova? Dare you? How fucking dare you say these terrible things to me?
Blova.
End the fucking episode. Stop. Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 20 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a shot, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember... There is a Valhalla out there where warriors go when they die nobly in combat. And we'll be seeing Ramba there soon.